Closet Christians. You probably looked and said, that's closest Christians. No. It's closet Christians. And it is time to come out. And I'm speaking to all of us. It is time to come out. All right. Many times when a person hides a habit or lifestyle from another individual or group of individuals, that person is said to be in the closet. And of course, we associate this with the homosexual community. They hide it. They hide their sin from the rest of the world until finally they decide just make it all, expose it to the world, say, hey, okay, I'm gay, or something like that. People may be in the closet about their drinking, might be in the closet about their adultery, or any other habit or practice they do not want others to know about. And especially among our own group, if you're involved in something, you don't want everybody else to know about it. So it can be said that you can be called a closet drinker, a closet adulterer, a closet fornicator, a closet whatever. Just fill in the blank. It could be that way. While it is true that these people have something of which they are ashamed, and they rightfully should be ashamed about these things, they are not the only ones who hide their lifestyle from others. Too many times, members of the Lord's church are in the closet about the life they have chosen to live. Now, just think about that for a minute. Too many times, we hide it from the world that we are Christians. All right, they hide their name and dedication so that the world will not associate them with the church. And we don't want to be known as one of those fundamental Christians who are hardliners or something like that, the Bible beaters and stuff like, and all the various names people call them. And we know if we let the world know that we're a Christian, we're going to get called those names. And they're going to be making fun of us and deriding us and all that. But the problem is these closet Christians have hindered the growth and production of the church across our nation. I mean, they're so ashamed of the church sometimes, they don't let anybody know about it. And as a result, the church is not growing. And so that is their fault because they have hidden it. We're not to be hidden, right? Remember what Jesus said about the lamp? Nobody puts it under a bushel basket because it needs to give light to the whole room. And a city set on a hill cannot be hid. So it does hinder the growth of the church when we hide the fact that we are Christians. People who think and act in this fashion want the comfort of belonging to Christ, but they are not willing to accept the responsibility that comes along with it. And that's very true. Oh yeah, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want to know that God has saved me. And I want to feel good about myself. But there's a responsibility that comes with being a Christian. And a lot of people don't really want to hold to that. See, the only time we have responsibility towards others is if we have told them we're a Christian. Then we realize we have a responsibility to behave ourselves, conduct ourselves like a Christian should conduct themselves. That's when we have the responsibility. So some people think, well, if I don't tell anybody a Christian, I don't have to live like one. I don't have to act like one. I don't have to behave like one. And hopefully you see the problem with that type of attitude. See, they feel comforted thinking that God is on their side, but they would never stand up and defend God's name, His doctrine, or His church before others. And we all know that type of person. And in some cases, maybe some of us in this room are that type of person. Someone takes the name of God in vain, and you just shrug off your shoulders. Well, that's the way they are. No. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, whether it's by us speaking it or by somebody else. When they start saying names against God and Jesus, I mean, it's time to speak up and say, hey, that is offensive and you shouldn't be doing that. The Bible even commands against that, the third commandment, right? Shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right. So don't speak it in vain. And so we have to be very careful there. And of course, defending the doctrine. A lot of people teach falsehood out there that are leading people astray. And we don't say anything. So that's not what the Bible says. You know, that gets us into more trouble than anything else when we enter a conversation with the phrase, that's not what the Bible says. And then we have to show them what the Bible says. Then they don't like us, right? Because it doesn't fit their doctrine. So this was the very idea Christ was condemning when he said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. This happens many times, especially for teenagers and young people. And you even have to be up into your mid-20s, 30s, even 40s, we have this problem. And it happens because of peer pressure. And they're afraid to let it be known. And because of the ridicule and the mockery of their peers, and many young Christians will continue to attend worship services, but they're going to live in the closet the rest of the week. They'll go to church with mommy and daddy because mommy and daddy make them go to church. But yet the rest of the week, they get out there. They don't want anybody to know that they're a Christian. So they may talk like the other people. They may act like the other people and do things like the other people and not let it be known. Because they know the very moment they say something, well, I'm a Christian, they're going to be a target. They're going to be the target of ridicule and mockery. And so they just cannot stand that, cannot bear that. So they have the tendency just to hide their Christianity. See, many times they never come out of that closet for fear of pressure, and they grow up and they continue this way. They get out of school, away from these people who made fun of them, and get in the workplace, and that is etched into their memory. If I tell someone I'm a Christian, they're going to start making fun of me, or they're going to be pressuring me, or something like that. And so it's something that people retain. They hang on to. And as a result, we know what the result is. The result is they don't let their light shine. They keep it hidden under that basket. They don't want anybody to know because people start picking on them. So why do people do this? I mean, it's a simple, honest question. Why do people do this? Well, they're afraid. We know that. And what about this world and its temptations would cause one to revert almost to secrecy when it comes to Christianity? And that's true. Now, in some parts of this world, yes, that is the daily routine for Christians, is living in secret. Because there are some countries, Christians are not allowed to gather to worship God. They're not allowed to assemble together and spend time with each other. And so they have to go around by secrecy. And even then, someone reports them, and anybody calls, hey, these people down here, they got three or four people in their place, and I think they're saying something they shouldn't be saying. So here come the police, and they gather them up, take them down, and arrest them all. I mean, that happens in parts of the world, especially in China. It does that in China and the other Asian countries. They're not allowed to worship Christ in the way that God specifies. And then go to a Muslim country and try and promote your Christianity. See what happens there. See how that turns out for you. So sometimes they do need to be very cautious and secretive. But the thing that'll give it away is their behavior, how they behave, how they treat others. And when someone doing something, you shouldn't be doing that because that's not right. Well, there's the first clue for a lot of them. They must be a Christian. And so, yes, even our Christianity can get us into trouble, but we don't have to worry about that, right? Because Jesus said, don't worry about the one who can take your life, but be worried about the one and concerned about the one who can judge you and send you to hell. So that's God we've got to be worried about, and not about man. And so even if our life is taken, God is there to protect us. Our souls will be safe. So there are some things missing in the life of the closet Christian. We're going to talk about that, and they all start with the letter C. We're going to look and see these things. First of all, a closet Christian lacks courage. And that ought to be obvious from what we've already said. They're afraid of the ridicule and the mockery and the temptations and the fun people are going to be putting on them, that they don't have courage. See, God has always desired and required that His children have courage, to be courageous. When the Lord chose an army to deliver His people through Gideon, He told all those who were afraid to go on home. I don't need you. And about 20,000 went back to their homes. They didn't want to go into battle. They were cowards. And they didn't want to go there. And after that, He still had 10,000 too many people in the army that God wanted to use. So they went through a test and selected only 300 to fight against this large army that was oppressing the children of Israel. And Judges 7, 1 and 2 talks about that. And you read the rest of the chapter. So they defeated a huge army with only 300 men. And it basically, all they could do was say, look what God has done for us. Because that really didn't make any sense. And so, Joshua was told, be strong and courageous. In Joshua 1, 6 through 9, you stick to God's plan. You stick to God's word. You take the law that Moses gave you. You don't stray to the right or to the left, and you will have success wherever you go. You do what the Lord tells you, and everything is going to be fine. Only be strong and very courageous. We need courage sometimes. Sometimes it takes courage just to stand up in front of an audience and talk about God. Now, it's one thing to get in front of an audience and talk about God to people who believe in God. What about people who don't believe in God? It's a little bit more challenging. See, the great King David, even as a youth, had the kind of courage that God expects. He talked about this courage when he fought the bear and the lion who were trying to take the sheep. And he was demonstrated when he fought Goliath, the giant. Here's a guy that stands about close to 9 foot tall, a huge individual, and here David is just a lad and decides to go into battle carrying a sling and a couple of stones. 5 stones to be exact. And everybody looked at this kid, boy, this is going to be a slaughter. And it was a slaughter, but not what you would expect. One slingshot, and that giant went down, and so David picked up the giant's sword and cut off his head. Brought him down to size, right? Okay. Daniel possessed the courage that God would demand when he prayed, knowing that he would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6 talks about that. And even the king was distressed about this because he knew it was a trap set for Daniel. But Daniel survived. Then the king threw in all of his accusers, and they never even made it to the floor. The lions ate them. See, we must also have courage to be a child of God. It does take courage to tell people that, yes, I am a Christian. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm going to try and live according to that Bible. We have to have courage to do that in this world. So without the proper courage, we will become closet Christians. A closet Christian lacks conviction. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the other one. Yes, if you have no conviction, you're not going to stand up for anything. And so conviction spans deeper than a vocal testimony of God. Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So yes, we've got to do God's word more than just say, okay, I'm a Christian. How many people do you know walk around, hey, I'm a Christian, and then you're watching them, you keep your eye on them, and they don't act anything like a Christian. So, you know, that's really distressing sometimes. And sometimes you have to go up and say, hey, a Christian doesn't talk like that. A Christian doesn't behave like that. A Christian works like he's supposed to work, and so forth. Sometimes they don't have the conviction. A conviction is defined as a strong persuasion or belief. And so that's what it is. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and He died on the cross for our sin. That should be a strong enough conviction that we believe it and act upon it. A lot of people say they believe in God, but they don't act on it. And they don't believe Him. Certainly one who is convicted will be compelled by his faith in Christ and love for God to follow His commandments. When people don't follow the commandments of God, they're not demonstrating any sort of conviction. So in so doing, one could never be called a closet Christian. I mean, that's what they are. They're trying to be a closet Christian, but just take off the word Christian. Because if they're not demonstrating Christ in their lives, they're not a Christian. Or they're a fallen Christian, an erring Christian. That's about the best we can say about them. Now, we ask the question, how convicted am I? Do I believe it? Well, me personally, yeah, I do. That's why I stand up here all the time and talk about this and try and convince you that it's the right way to live and the right way to be. So, how convicted are you? I mean, that's a question you have to ask yourself. We know we're supposed to examine ourselves all the time to see if we're in the faith. So the question is, how convicted are you in serving the God? Do I study my Bible as I should? Do I spend enough time? And honestly, the only correct answer is not enough. I don't study my Bible as much as I should. And then, do you study your Bible as you should? And hopefully you would have the same answer. I know many times people tell me, well, I wish I knew my Bible as well as you do. And my response has always been, start reading. Start reading. Start learning. That's what you got to do. Because that's the only way you're going to learn it. Do I attend all the services of the local congregation? Do you? That's a question we got to start questioning sometimes. And, of course, looking at the reasons why. Sometimes people work. We understand that. Sometimes people are sick. We understand that. But there's a lot of people that just don't show up. And they really have no evidence or anything to put forward other than that, well, I didn't feel good. And then you start hearing things like, well, I had to take my cat to the vet. Missed services because of their cat. Or I got to have my hair done. Or something like that. Or the family wanted to go on a vacation. So the question is, are we in danger of being closet Christians? And another thing, a closet Christian lacks correct communication. And we know communication works both directions. Proper communication is essential in any relationship. And we know that's true. Any relationship needs the right kind of communication. And whether it's the boss speaking to the employee or the employee speaking to the boss, there is a protocol and a procedure for doing that. And they need to do that. In the business world, we were taught, listen to communicate. In other words, we give someone a project to do. I want you to go do this project. And we turn around and ask them, now, what are you supposed to do? And they tell us. And if it's right, then good. We've communicated properly. If they don't understand, we'll explain it again. But anyway, and someone said, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. Then you go off and have no idea what they're supposed to do. So what are they going to do? They're going to goof off and not accomplish anything. See, the value of communication in our relationship with God is beyond compare. It cannot go on. See, God communicates with us through His Word. We have His Word constantly at our disposal. We have it there. We've got it on our cell phones. Some of us do have His Word on our cell phones. We have it in our Bible. Some of us carry Bibles around or have them laying around the house or in the car. You know, a lot of people take their Bible and put it up on the dashboard of the car and just leave it there. And I guess supposedly let people know, hey, this is a religious person who drives this car. And that sometimes it appears that way because you see their behavior and their actions. I mean, I can just imagine you might drive up to a honky-tonk bar in Texas and probably see about 5 or 6 Bibles in the dashboards of the different vehicles there. So anyway, but God does communicate to us through His Word. Really, that's the only way He communicates to us. And so if we do not read in studies, we read about study to show yourself approved, then we have a broken communication with Almighty God. We're not receiving the instructions He's giving us. And then we communicate with God by a fervent prayer life. That is a part of the communication process, is talk back and forth. When the talking is only one direction, there's really not a lot of communication taking place. See, Paul stressed the necessity of prayer with these three words we find in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And it is so important that we pray. And we're told to pray on numerous occasions. And so if we cease to pray, we have again broken communication with God. Now, some people think, well, God knows everything, so why do I need to tell Him? Because God told us to talk to Him. God wants to hear from us. I mean, we understand that from our human perspective. Don't we like to receive compliments? Each and every one of us, I guarantee you, we like it when someone compliments us. Or if we do something for somebody and they say thank you, we appreciate that so much. Or maybe we've done somebody wrong, we say, please forgive me, or I'm sorry. Simple little phrases like that, as humans, we kind of are endeared to such terms like that. God wants to hear the same thing, because we are supposed to be like God. If we like getting compliments, if we like getting the I'm sorry's and the I love you and things like that, don't you know God wants to hear the same thing? And that's why it's such a privilege to talk to Almighty God. We must be doing that. And we communicate to God. He tells us what we need to do. We do our best to do it. And then when we fail, we say, I'm sorry. I failed you. Please forgive me. And you know what? The Bible tells us, He tells us through His Word, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin. 1 John 1 and verse 9. So, finally, the closet Christian lacks confidence. And here's what it all boils down to. The closet Christian, they stay in the closet because they don't have the confidence. They don't have the confidence that they can withstand all the peer pressure and the mocking and being made fun of, or the temptation that is there. I'm afraid they stick a beer under my nose. What am I going to do? Well, I don't want to look like an oddball, so I'm going to drink that beer in front of them. No, as a Christian, I don't do that. You got to tell them that. You got to stand firm with your conviction. Because that's the only way you're going to impress someone with a Christian life, is by standing firm with a conviction and confidence. The person lacks confidence in himself to live the life he promised to live. And confidence in the Word to help him overcome adversity and temptation. That fails on them. If they don't have that confidence, they're afraid every step they make is going to be the wrong step and they're going to be condemned for it. And we shouldn't be doing that. We also have and need the confidence in God to fulfill His promises He made to those who obey Him. He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 tells us that. And He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 tells us that. And so, He promised to take care of His own. All we have to do is obey Him. So when we lose a solid confidence in God or His Word, then we are in danger of becoming closet Christians. We're like that, you know, the one talent guy. He was afraid. So what did he do? He took the one talent he was entrusted with and went and buried it so that when the master came back, he gave it back to him. Was the master happy with him? No. That's what happens when you become a closet Christian. You go and bury yourself away out of sight of everybody so that you do not let your light shine. You do not behave as a Christian should. You don't set an example for others to follow. So that's the problem with being the closet Christian. So we need to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. And the question is, do we lack courage, conviction, correct communication, or confidence? And believe me, if you are lacking in any of these things, you're more than likely a closet Christian. And if we do, we may be in danger of becoming or have already become closet Christians. And the problem is, closet Christians are not going to go to heaven. Wait a minute, I'm hiding my Christianity. I'm trying to be a faithful Christian. No, closet Christians are not going to go to heaven. You think, but wait a minute, they're not out there drinking. They're not out there gambling or committing adultery, stuff like this. What is their problem? The problem is they're not letting their light shine as we have been commanded. See, the only thing a closet Christian does not lack is a place at the judgment. Yes, you will stand there and you'll be judged like everybody else. And when your time comes up there, did you let your light shine? The answer is no. Guess what? God doesn't need those kind of people. See, if we have openly lived our commitment to Christ, we will be rewarded. We've got to let it be known. Yes, we're a Christian. We stand with God. We stand with the doctrine of the Bible. And we must be doing that. Otherwise, we're going to be falling short and we will be condemned. Now, that's hard to say sometimes. When you think about people who don't really do the bad things, but if you're not doing the good things, you can still be lost. So that's our lesson tonight. Think about that. Because this is all serious business, what we're involved in. Serving God and doing things His way, that is serious business. Souls are riding upon that. And if we're not sharing our life with others, if we're not sharing a Christian life with others, we are depriving them. You know, Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one is deprived of the grace of God. If we don't show grace of God in our lives, how is the world going to see it anywhere? They're not going to see it on TV. They're not going to see it in the news media or movies or anything like that. We have deprived people. If we're trying to hide our Christianity, we have deprived people from what they need. We all know what we need to do, and we stand ready to assist anyone. If you need prayers of the congregation, we'll be glad to pray for you. And if you need to obey the gospel, we can help you do that as well. So if you're subject to invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.